Well, appreciate being here this afternoon. Appreciate all the good food that we had. Pray that the Lord would help us to all be able to stay awake. Think of our Sunday school lesson this morning and Jesus telling the disciples to watch and pray. I don't have a lengthy message, I don't think, at least this afternoon, but I had some things on my heart, and pray the Lord would help me to relay those to you this afternoon. Have you ever, well, I guess I can write it up there. I've written on the board, life is fleeting. I don't know if you've ever heard that term before, but it's kind of like, you know, it's here today, gone tomorrow. You know what I mean? I don't know if we really realize how vulnerable it is on any given day. You know what I mean? I forget when we were talking about it. Maybe we were talking about it at Sunday school this morning where, you know, the dangerous things that we do all the time and don't really think nothing of it. You know what I mean? We drive 70 or 80 mile an hour on these roads out here, you know what I mean? I've seen some people, it looks like they're in a car about as big as this podium, you know what I mean, driving 80 mile an hour on a highway. First time I saw one of them smart cars, I thought that is a contraption that's dangerous, you know? I mean, it runs into anything, and it's a total, you know, total loss. And I don't know if we realize how vulnerable we are a lot of times in the way we conduct ourselves in our lives. By raise of hands, how many of us know when we're going to die? Does anybody know that it won't be tomorrow? We can't really say we know that. And it doesn't really matter how old we are, you know what I mean? I mean, all of us look at the children that are here and I mean, by all expectation, we think they're going to live 70 more years, you know? And I hope that that is the case, you know? But the reality is we don't really know. And I don't know that we live our lives in a way that would show that, you know? I was thinking recently about some of the scrapes that I've been in, right? I've had two this year, but I've had others in the past. One of them, I remember, I was working on a job with somebody, and we were up on a four-story building, brand new building, and we were rolling out some sort of a mesh and foaming it down and preparing it for foam, and I'm rolling this thing out, and I'm going backwards. He's spraying as I roll, you know. And I rolled it all the way to the edge of the roof and hit my heels on the roof edge, right? And, I mean, the roof edge is this big. It was like a 18-inch maybe. If I had had any more momentum, I'm going over the back of that thing. Four stories, right? And, you know, I was like, whoa. Yeah. Events like that really make you think, right? I hope it makes you think, you know? And one of the things that I realize is that in those moments, when that thing happens, you know, how quickly your priority list, I mean, it'll shrink that thing in a heartbeat, you know what I mean? All the things that you thought were super important don't seem quite as important, you know what I mean, when it comes time when you're in that moment, you know what I mean, of that opportunity where this could have been the last day that you breathe, right? And, I mean, obviously, how we interpret that or how we apply that to our lives, I mean, some of us might say, well, you know, I'm saved. So what? You know what I mean? I just go to heaven early, right? But is that really the right attitude? I mean, are you really done? I had another story where I was working away from home. And we went to Lake Eufaula. And I brought Rennell and the children with us, and we had our camper with us, and we were going to do a job there. I was working with Brother Doug, and we were going to do a job there, and then we were just going to stay a night or two at a little camping spot and have a little family deal there, right? So after the work, we went by the lake and had a fishing pole, and we were out there fishing off the bank and everything, and I threw my lure out there, and it got all hung up. And it was like the only lure I had, right? And so it was like we were going to be done fishing already, you know? And I thought, you know, that thing's not that far out there. So I decided I was going to swim out there and try to get this lure, right? So I get out there. I'm fully dressed. I think I took my shoes off. But I get out there and I'm tracing this line, and the next thing I know, my feet were tangled in a bunch of fishing line under the water. And I'm feeling like, whoa, I don't know if I'm gonna be able to get out of this, you know? And I just remember being out there in the water. I can't touch the bottom. I'm way off in the deep water a little bit, and my feet are all tangled up, and I'm looking at the bank, and I've got my wife, and I've got a little 2-year-old boy and another little 1-year-old boy looking out at me. And I think to myself, I'm about to die in front of my family right here. I mean, the reality of what kind of a situation I was in, it was just like, it was overwhelming to think that this is it. And I'm gonna lose my life over a lure. Right? The smallest of things. And by the help of the Lord, I was able to kick my legs free, but at that point, did I keep searching for that lure? No way. I was back to the bank. You know, priorities, I could look at that and think, well, you know, I'm ready to go, you know. I wasn't out there praying for salvation, you know. Oh, I pray the Lord will help me to be saved before I drown. No, but I had other things. I had things that needed to be done. I had things that needed to be taken care of. I had children that needed their dad. Right? And I think those vulnerable situations or those vulnerable times when there's a possibility that could have been the end of it, that yes, you know, sometimes you have to think, you know, well, are you saved? You know, are you even ready to die on a personal level? But I think it even goes deeper than that. And are you ready to die in the sense that you know, like Paul, I think he said, I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. You know what I mean? I've done it all, basically. And I remember another place in the scriptures where he told, I think it was the Ephesian church, you know, I've given you everything that I've received. I've not held anything back. And he is essentially saying, you know, I'm done. I've done all that I can do for you all. And it was, they cried, you know. It was like, okay, I guess this may be the last time that I come, you know what I mean, or that I see you. But yet he felt like he had put it all on the table, that he had accomplished all that it was that he had to do. And I feel like when we get in those moments where we're vulnerable and we realize the fleetingness of life and how I'm breathing today, but tomorrow's not promised. The scripture in Proverbs 27:1 says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. We don't know what's going to happen today. enough to be able to boast about tomorrow. And we could say, well, you know, tomorrow I'll teach my children this, or tomorrow I'll tell somebody about the Lord, or tomorrow I'll do this, or tomorrow I'll do that. But tomorrow may not come. And if you knew that today was the day, would you still put those things off for until tomorrow? Or would you do it today? You know, I talked about, you know, the salvation. Are you ready? You know what I mean? Are you really ready? You know, we talk about, you know, the children. You know, I pray that they have a desire to serve the Lord. I pray that they have a desire to give their heart completely into God. But listen up, children. I pray that you won't wait until tomorrow, or until next week, or until Monarch, or until I'm 10 years old, or until I'm 12 years old, to give your heart to God. We give our heart to the Lord now. The Scripture says that today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow's not promised. And so I feel like when we do that, and we delay things, and we put them off until Monarch, or we put them off until the next meeting, or we put them off until we're a certain age, that we think that that's the right age to get saved, then I think we just give the devil that much more time to put us away and to get us more and more separated from God. And so my prayer is that we won't put things off like that until tomorrow or till the next day, but that we would focus and pay attention to the now, and have our perspective and our mind frame on the things that are good now. Maybe we are saved. And like I said, you know, you get to that moment. So I'll just, personal experience. Like I said, I fell off two roofs this year. And I told you about another roof that I about fell off of that would have ended me, no doubt. But the first roof I fell off this year, I had no idea which way I was going to land. My eyes were closed. I'm floating through the air, and I you know, fell right on my stomach. I mean, for all I knew, I would have landed on my head, you know. You come away from that, and your perspective is different, you know. When I peeled myself up off the ground this last one, you know, and I'm laid up in a chair. I can't hardly get anywhere. I can't hardly move. And I can't work. I can't do hardly anything. You know what I mean? And people are saying, well, you might be like this for 6 months. And I'm like, 6 months? You ask my wife. She told me. I'm thinking I'm going to hobble around in a week or two. And she's like, what? You're not doing that. And I've got all these things in my head of what I need to do. I've got all this stuff that I've got to do. Things that need my attention. Things that I want to do and things that I have to do. And, you know, you're laying there and you can't. You can't do them. And it just reminds you of... Tomorrow may not come. And making sure that I'm doing what I can do now. Now, I can't do my whole list now. You know what I mean? Even with the whole body and everything else. You know what I mean? It takes time. And I'm not talking necessarily about me putting off things that I should have been doing. I was doing one of the things on my list when I fell off the roof, right? But there were other things. You know, I talked about when I was sliding off the roof, I wasn't praying for my salvation. I wasn't asking God to forgive me. Thank the Lord. But I was asking Him to help me not break my back. Because I, in my mind, I'm thinking a broken back, I'm going to be down a long time. And I don't know that we would, I don't know how we would survive that really, you know. But I had other things on my list of what I wanted to do, things that were important, things that I felt like God wanted me to do. And I wasn't able to do them either. And it's like all those got put off on the back burner somewhere. And that's discouraging. I want to be able to, at the end of my life, say like Paul said, I've fought a good fight. I've done all that I know to do. I've given you all that I could give you. I've imparted into you everything that God has given unto me, and I don't have anything more that I can give you than what I've done. And to be able to leave the scene that way. And I know that not all of us are going to have that opportunity. You know, I don't know. I may not live past tomorrow, you know. And some of the things that I would have liked to have done, some of the lessons that I would have liked to have imparted to my children or whatever may not get to happen. But I pray that the Lord would help me to be mindful of the vulnerability of life and to be mindful of these things that are priorities that I would never want to be left undone if something were to happen to me. You know, I've heard of children that mourn the fact that they don't remember their father ever telling them that they loved them. And I imagine that person dying and regretting that fact. That they never did that, you know what I mean? Or they didn't prioritize that. And I pray the Lord would help me not to do that to my family. That they would certainly know that. Should I leave the scene, kind of a deal. I'd like to look at Luke chapter 12. Luke 12 and 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? And then it says, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. This man, if you look at what he did, you can't necessarily fault him for trying to preserve the fruits that he had obtained throughout the year. But I mean, I don't know. I kind of surmise that if this man had known that this was it, I imagine he would have had a different plan in place, right? I mean, I imagine that his plan wouldn't have been to try to build barns. That's a waste of time, right? I how about we just find a way to bless some other people that maybe didn't have a good crop or whatever? You know what I mean? Whatever that new plan would have been, I don't think he would have continued on with the plan the same way had he known that was going to be the end. And so I asked myself, would I do things a little bit differently if I knew that time was fleeting or time was coming to an abrupt end or a short amount of time? If I knew I only had a year, or I knew I only had 6 months, would I change the way that I proceed with my life? And I think about what he said, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. And so I pray that the Lord would help us to store up our treasures in heaven, whatever that might be. Like we said, the person that doesn't even know the Lord, that doesn't even have salvation, that they would prioritize that and make sure that they have that, so that when time comes, when their number is called and they're going off into eternity, that they're prepared at least with the salvation of their own soul. And they have that to rest upon. And, you know, for me, I was thankful that I had salvation, and that if I had died, that I was at least okay spiritually to go to heaven. But I would have had some disappointments. I would have regretted that there were some things that didn't get done, that I felt like the Lord wanted me to do, and that maybe I had procrastinated on them things and hadn't done some of due diligence to make sure those things were happening, because I was cumbered about other things. And it's not that we don't have priorities. We definitely have priorities and things that have to get done. But at the same time, we want to make sure that we're doing the things that God has for us to do. You know, the scripture just says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I really believe that that is a priority for us, to prioritize God in our lives and in our families. As much as I want to take my boys fishing, I want to make sure that I'm prioritizing their souls. Right? And I think they're both valuable. I think they're both meaningful and both necessary. But I definitely want to make sure that I'm prioritizing their soul, because I want to see them in eternity with Christ. And so I guess I've been contemplating things and thinking, you know, I want to make sure that I'm living my life with the idea that we're possibly on a short time scale here, you know? And I don't want to be laying in my chair or my back wishing I had this or wishing I had that or you know, all these things. But to be able to say, I've done all that I can do. You know, I'm full. You know, I've not neglected anything that God would have for me to do, or that He's placed on my heart to do. And so that's what I want to do. I want to make sure that I'm living my life with godly things as a priority, and that I'm doing the things that God has given me to do, and that I'm walking in those things faithfully. And I trust that in doing that He's going to bless all the rest, you know. But I don't know, we were in family worship, we've been reading Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, and you know how Solomon was like, well, we do this and all, that's vain, and we do that and that's vain, you know, just like, this guy has got a bad frame of mind, you know what I mean? Everything is vain, everything is worthless, everything is without hope, and oh, woe is me, I'm just going to throw up my hands, you know what I mean? And I think the reality of it is that God has to be the priority. And yes, we still, you know, with God being your priority, the labor of your hands is not vain. It's valuable, not just in what it produces physically, but I believe it produces something in us spiritually as well, the labor that we do. when we labor for the Lord, right? Or we do all things as unto the Lord, right? And so, like I said, we've been reading a little bit about that in family worship, and I've been thinking about how to explain to the children that, you know, you tell them, okay, the work is vain, you know, then they might be like, well, what's the point? You know what I mean? Why do my chores, right? Work is vain, Dad. You read it in the scriptures, right? But there's more to life than that. And I think the whole gist of it was that, I think maybe we should read the... Anybody know what the last scripture or the conclusion of the matter was in Ecclesiastes? Rodney, I'm sure you got it down. What's that? Yes. Yeah, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And so may the Lord help us to keep our minds and our hearts intent on Him. And I believe that in doing that, that He's going to help us prioritize our priorities. And I think that's another message in and of itself. We say, well, what are the priorities, right? You say, well, God is the priority. You say, okay, but there's other priorities as well, right? I mean, I have a priority to feed my family. I have a priority to work. I have a priority to pay the bills, or, you know, I have a priority for the spiritual growth of my family, to make sure that they're having a connection with God, and you can't just focus on one priority and let the other ones go to the wayside. They're all priorities, and they all have their own there's a time for everything, right? There's a time to mourn, there's a time to rejoice, there's a time to be full, there's time to be hungry. And so there's a time when just for example, ministry maybe needs to be a priority. But there's also a time when a child needs to be a priority. Amen? And there may be another time when the job needs to be the priority, you know? And so everything has to work in together with each other. I hope I'm not all jumbled up to this afternoon, but pray for me. I want to prioritize God, and I want to make sure that my list at the end of the day is I've done all that I can do. I've left nothing undone, but I've imparted into you all that I've received from the Lord, and essentially I leave you to God. And I pray the Lord would help me to feel comfortable in that. That if today is my last day, that I can feel comfortable that I haven't left anything undone that should have been done, or you know, that I didn't put something off that I should not have put off. It's one thing if you didn't get something done, but it's another thing that if you put something off and could have done it but chose not to do it. And so I pray the Lord would help me never to have that happen.